Physical prowess or intellectual activities unleashed AI by intelligence. Nor can one use this power of religion. His material opulence, or any other means, either by himself or with the help of others, to defy the orders of the Supreme Lord. That is not possible for any human being, from the man down to the ant. Nor can one use his power of religion, his material opulence, that's the material opulence. Dharma, the power of religion. Or any other means. Okay, purport. In the Gautama Upanishad, Gautama Muni says to his wife, Itasya va acharasya prasasarami gauri surya chandramaso vidrito tishtita. My dear Gauri, everything is under control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even the sun, the moon, and other controllers and demigods like Lord Brahma and King Indra are all under his control. An ordinary human being or animal who has accepted the true body cannot go beyond the jurisdiction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's control. A material body includes senses. However, the sense activities of so-called scientists who try to be free from God's law or the laws of nature are useless. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7:14. It is impossible to surpass the control of material nature, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is working behind it. Sometimes we are proud of our austerities, penances, and mystic yoga powers, but it is clearly stated herein that one cannot surpass the laws and directions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, either by dint of mystic power, scientific education, or austerities and penances. It is impossible. The word Manishaya by intelligence is of special significance. Priyavrata might argue that Lord Brahma was requesting him to accept family life and the responsibility for ruling a kingdom. Although Narayana had advised him not to enter household life and be entangled in material affairs. Whom to accept would be a puzzle. For Priyavrata. Because both Lord Brahma and Narayana are authorities. Other circumstances, the use of the word Manishaya is very appropriate, for it indicates that since both Narada Muni and Lord Brahma are authorized to give instruction, Priyavrata should neglect neither of them, but should use his intelligence to follow the advice of both. To solve such dilemmas, Sri Rupa Goswami has given a very clear conception of intelligence. He says, anasaktasya vishayam yataham upayuntaha nirbandha krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagyam uchite vishayam material affairs should be accepted without attachment, and everything should be dovetailed with the service of the Lord. That is real intelligence, manisha. Becoming a family man or king in the material world is not harmful, if one accepts anything for Krishna's service, that necessitates clear intelligence. My Advaita philosophers say, Brahma Satyam Jagan Nitya. This material world is false, and only absolute truth is real. However, an intelligent devotee in the mind of Lord Brahma and the great sage Narada, or in other words, in the Brahma Sampradaya, does not consider the world false. That which is created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be false. But using it for enjoyment is. Everything is meant to be enjoyed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 5.29. Bhaktaram jayet tapasam sarvalokamaheshwaram. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Proprietor and Enjoyer, and therefore everything should be dealt out for His enjoyment and service. Regardless of one's circumstances, favourable or unfavourable, one should use everything to serve the Supreme Lord. That is the perfect way to use one's intelligence. An example of not being able to avoid the order of the Lord. The Lord is manifest in the form of the time factor, for example. This is an example I can think of off the top of my head. Everybody has to die. So in the form of time, the Lord stalks everyone, you could say. Everybody's has to face death. Can't avoid it. As soon as you are born, your death is inevitable. The first chapter of the Bhagavatam, 10th canto. We're dying every moment. The body that I've got now is not the body, not the same body that I had a moment ago. It's changing all the time. And so, everybody has to act according to the time factor. As Bhagavad Gita is described, and elsewhere in a very interesting way, the demons, the asuras, they only recognize the Heavenly Radio has got an informed debt. Up until that point, they think they're in control. They're in control. But here, it's described how one can, and of course in a slightly different context. And there's a list of qualities or characteristics described here that even if you are well endowed with just one, or even one, or many of these characteristics, they still don't overrule the potency of God. So what have we got here? Tapasa, austerities. Lord Brahma thought, not Lord Brahma, Hiranyakashipu thought by performing austerities he could become invincible. Despite the fact that Lord Brahma had promised him so many benedictions, he won't die in the day, he won't die in the night, he won't die inside, he won't die outside, he won't be killed by a man or an animal, he wouldn't be killed by any weapons, he wouldn't be killed in the sky or in the water, or on the earth, right? And you know, all of these benedictions by Lord Brahma, and so he's thinking, I'll be invincible. But what happened? The Lord appeared in the form of Lord Shrinivas, and despite all the benedictions of Lord Brahma, all the potency and power invested in him because of his austerities, he still was defeated by Lord Shrinivas, who wasn't a man, wasn't an animal, he was both. He killed him at dusk, which was the daytime or nighttime. He didn't use any weapons, but he pulled him apart with his nails. So, austerity, vidyaya. Yeah, I was wondering, why does Prabhupada say here a material body includes senses. However, the sense activities of so-called scientists who try to be free from God's law or the laws of nature are useless. Right? So I said, why does Prabhupada say scientists? And of course, we know this is Prabhupada. Often mentioned this point, would criticize the scientists. And of course, the word here is vidyaya, vidya, and it's translated as education, by education. So, this is where the scientists, this is where the reference to scientists come from, vidyaya, right? They think they're very learned, but they're actually maya, vidya. Their knowledge is stolen by illusion, because they also have to die. Everyone has to die, despite how learned you may be. And of course, if you don't understand that you're not a body, that you're a jiva, and as a jiva, a subject to the laws of material nature, which are all working under the control of the Lord. And of course, Prabhupada quotes here, 7:14, Mama Maya Dumataya, the material energy is working under the auspices, under the control of the Lord. Mama Maya, my energy, my potency, Shakti, that material energy is the Shakti of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Daily Yesha Buddha Mahi. So, Tapasa, Vijaya, Yoga. What? Na yoga vilena. You may be a big yogi with great potency, but not beyond the jurisdiction, not beyond the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he sees many examples of yogis who perform austerities for many, many years, tens of thousands of years in previous yugas, but who, by the influence of material energy, fell down to material illuminance. By contemplating the objects of the senses, they became attracted. So you may be a powerful yogi controlling the senses, but still subject to the influence of the material energy. So again, under control of the Supreme Lord. Yeah. And ordinary human being or animal who has accepted the material body cannot go beyond the jurisdiction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's control. Sometimes we are proud of our austerities, penances, and mystic yoga powers, but it is clearly stated herein that one cannot surpass the laws and directions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And of course, here we have an interesting situation because the Lord is manifest in the instructions coming from his devotees. It's not the Lord himself personally giving these instructions, but these instructions are coming from Lord Brahma and from Narada Muni, and so therefore, because they're coming from great devotees, in fact, Lord Brahma is referred to here as what? What's the title that's given to him? Bhagavan. Yes. And she indicates that he's a great devotee, not that he's Bhagavan, but he's dedicated to Bhagavan. And so, the instructions of the spiritual master, or in this case, the representative of the Lord, for Priyavrata, are irrevocable and that's not quite the word that I'm looking for. They're not to be ignored. They have to be accepted. The instruction of the spiritual master is what are we seeing? Guru Mukha Padma Bhagya, Jite De Galiya Aya. And what's the translation? My only wish is to have my consciousness purified by the words emanating from his lotus mouth. So, the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are carried by the devotees. And repeated. Chatasdham Gita Yanta Upam Yatantas Charakita Prataha. The devotees are always singing the glories of the Lord. And that means repeating his instructions and following those instructions with great determination. Oh, this is the nature of the devotee, quality of the devotee. And so it's the responsibility of the disciple to, the instruction, like I said, the instruction of the spiritual master, the pride of the disciple. Because by following the order of the spiritual master, one is following the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he's his representative. He is clarifying or focusing the disciple on the order of the spiritual, on the order of the Supreme Lord. So, not to be ignored. Guru Avagya was said. Guru Avagya. What number is that instruction?
Number 3.
Very good. Number 3, ignore the instruction of the spiritual master. And so here's the dilemma for Prirada Maharaj. He's getting an instruction from Lord Brahma, do this. He's getting an instruction from Narayana Muni, do that. Both of them are called actually Bhagavan. Both of them. So, highly elevated devotees. And both of them giving him apparently contradictory instructions. Narayana Muni is saying, be renounced. And Lord Brahma is saying, take up the responsibility of managing the universal affairs, which ordinarily would be considered entangling. When Lord Chaitanya was asked to give some consideration to Maharaj Prataparudra's desire to have his association, Lord Chaitanya thoroughly rejected it. I'm a sannyasi. To associate with perhaps an innocent man is suicide for a renunciate. Narayana Muni is instrumental, has been instrumental, and is instrumental in encouraging devotees to focus on spiritual life and renounce material activities. And so this is a quandary, this is a power of contradiction for Maharaj Prirada. But then Prabhupada says in it, actually, interestingly, he says, the most important word in this verse is manishaya. Right? And that's translated as by intelligence. Right? And so Prabhupada explains here that one cannot surpass the laws and directions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? Despite all the qualifications. Yeah. But how does one manage apparently contradictory instructions? And Prabhupada says, by the use of intelligence. Manishaya. And not manishaya to avoid following the instructions, but manishaya to embrace those instructions and understand how to utilize both apparently contradictory, but how to utilize both or all instructions in such a way so that one is able to follow the order of the Supreme Lord. And of course, Maharaj Prirada is very exalted. One thing that you need in order to do this is manishaya, intelligence. Right? One needs intelligence. And of course, interesting, a verse that Prabhupada quoted earlier on in a previous report. Tesham Sapatim Dhanam, Bhajanam. The Dharmi Buddhi Jogavatam, right? The Dharmi, by ideas, the Dharmi Buddhi, intelligence, by which one can, the Dharmi Buddhi Jogavatam, what's the next word?
Yenamam
Buddhi. Yenamam Buddhi Jogavatam, yes, then you can come to me, right? So for those who engage in personal service, I give the understanding by which one can come to me. Right? So those who engage in the service of the spiritual master. And sometimes the spiritual master gives instructions that are very challenging. You know? In the beginning of the anger of devotion, in the beginning of the Bhakti Rasa Sindhu, it's recommended, Ado Guru Parasaya, that we should take shelter of the Guru. And then what should we do? What's the next instruction? Guru Parasaya. What's the next instruction? 64 items of devotion service.
First, clear and practice by serving the Guru, like taking shelter, renunciation, and following his instructions.
Yeah, then what?
Serving.
Yeah. What's the second or third item? What is it? Prichaya, isn't it? Inquire. Right? What is it? 434. Tantri Pranipatena Pariprashena. Inquire. Right? So, take shelter of the spiritual master, serve him, inquire. The first service is to inquire. What's the first question that the disciple should ask?
How can I serve you?
Yeah, how can I serve you? Presumably he's understood all of the other instructions. Right? You're not the body, you're a spirit soul. You're a servant. If you're a servant, then what does that mean? Okay, what's my service? What should I do? Huh? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told Srila Prabhupada you should go and preach in the West in the English language. Right? This is when Srila Prabhupada was 23. Right? 23. Of course, Prabhupada didn't ask at that point in time, how can I serve you? But still, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave me that instruction. And more or less, we reiterated that instruction later on. It's very interesting, you know, Srila Prabhupada was a junior. I must just end with that. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur welcomed his sannyasi disciples who went to England and Europe to preach. And Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, was a junior disciple amongst all of the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. Many sannyasis, senior devotees, senior renunciates. But it's very interesting. In this picture of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur welcoming his disciples, I think Mohan Maharaj and others. Anybody know who the other sannyasi was who went to England? Anyway, there's a picture of that event, and Srila Prabhupada is sitting, there's a row of devotees and many beyond them. And there's practically no subtlety attack on the two, so that sees in any other person. Then sort of Prabhupada seemed interested. But even though he was a junior, he was still recognized, and certainly recognized by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because he said, you know, to his disciples, you know, in due course he will do everything. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it seems, understood the dedication and the determination and the faith that his disciple had in his order, right? In his order. And also and his order, not that it was his order, but that it was the order of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the order of the previous acharyas and the order of Lord Chaitanya, right? So, you know, for a faithful disciple, one accepts the order of the spiritual master as his pride or his power of those instructions that he has received from his spiritual master. Because those instructions echo the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and not to be avoided. Right? Even though Srila Prabhupada on occasion felt daunted by the order of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, still he pursued those instructions. He understood this is the order, you know, this is ordained. This will happen. And we see that in a few anecdotal stories. There's a story of the sannyasis in Harrison Road, isn't it? I think they were having a discussion about how will the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu be fulfilled. They were doubting, they had their doubts, and sort of Prabhupada said, some fool will do it. And you know, when Srila Prabhupada was in New York in 1965 and 1966, he was in very destitute circumstances. No money, no followers, his typewriter and his Bhagavad Gita manuscript, he'd already written the Bhagavad Gita, it was stolen. Right? How much work was Srila Prabhupada put into writing the Bhagavad Gita, 700 verses. So he already had a manuscript of the book, and it was stolen. So how was it people? In the middle, you know, at the beginning of your mission to preach in New York, and what Prabhupada's response was, you know, Krishna gives and Krishna takes away. So, despite that, when Srila Prabhupada was talking to Mr. Rubens, was it the train driver? Is that the story? The train driver or the train conductor or whatever? And he told him, we have temples, we have farms, you know, we have devotees. And this is when Prabhupada had nothing. You know, he was going to the senior, you know, company every week to see when the boat was returning to India. So, you know, even in the pursuit of the order of the spiritual master, there are great challenges. There are great challenges. And that's why Rupa Goswami says, gives the advice, you know, take shelter of a guru, serve him, inquire, but be prepared to accept things that ordinarily you would not accept, and to give up things that you would ordinarily want to hang on to. So it's a challenge. So, Manishaya. What is required is intelligence. How to determine how to apply the order of the spiritual master, which is what's happening here. Narayana is his guru, Lord Brahma is his guru, and one is saying, take to the renounced order of life, and the other one is saying, be a householder, be a householder, right? And be a king, be the emperor of the whole, universe, basically. Universal affairs, the Bhagavatam doesn't deal with just being, the mayor of the city, or the ruler of the state, or the ruler of the country. We can't even conceive of somebody being a ruler of the world. Things are so chaotic at the moment. Who's in control? Nobody, practically speaking. It's chaos. Despite the fact that there are those who think there's some deep state controlling everyone and everything, the evidence tells us otherwise. This place is nuts. It's crazy. The evidence is strongly suggests that nobody's in control. And if there's anybody in control, there's that saying that Krishna is in control, right? But as we've noticed, anything can happen. Sometimes very hard to see how Krishna is in control of everything. Very hard to see that. So the intelligent body is thinking, okay, how can I pursue, how can I execute the order of the spiritual master? And that's by intelligence, by discrimination. Which is interesting enough when I think about it, that this is what the nectar of instruction is about, the Upadeshamrita. How to avoid the pushings of the mind and the senses. How to control the mind and the senses. And so the Guru Krishna gives advice. He tells us what to give up and what to accept. And this is the beginning of surrender. Accept that which is favorable, reject that which is anukulyasya, pratikulyasya, sankalpa, anukulyasya, vajanam. Right, this is the beginning of the six items of surrender. Which is the beginning. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, not actually bhakti, but it's the beginning of bhakti because it's the beginning of surrender. And so, this is important. We need to give up that which is unfavorable and accept that which is favorable. So, the renunciation, the key to renunciation is giving deeper to the Prabhupada. Quoting Guru Goswami, Anasakrasyavishayam, Yutaham, Poyun, Yutaha, Nibandha Krishna Sambande, Yutam Vayasa Uchide. Prabhupada says this is the key. So what he says? The key, what did he say? Let's see. Here. Rupa Goswami has given a very clear conception of intelligence. He says, material affairs should be accepted without attachment. So, the mood of renunciation as given by Narayana Muni can be married with the orders of Lord Brahma, to accept the responsibilities of a Kshatriya, right? A manager of, we in ISKCON accept many what appear to be material activities, right? When you think about it, there's a clean courtyard, we've got to go to the bank, we make money, right? We do all things that appear to be just the same as materialistic people. Right? But what's the difference? The difference is that those activities are performed primarily to please the Lord. They're performed without attachment to the result. And so they're not materially performed, they're not material activities actually. The activities appear to be the same, but the mentality or the mood. It all depends on the consciousness of the practitioner. Right? When Srila Prabhupada was preaching, he accepted everybody, including the women. And he was criticized for doing that. But what was one of the first things that Srila Prabhupada did? He introduced initiation, but then what did he do? After initiation, what did Srila Prabhupada do? The next ceremony he performed, what was it?
Marriage.
The Prabhupada says, what's a sannyasi marrying people? What is this? Lord Chaitanya says, I shouldn't associate with materialistic people. Srila Prabhupada is in New York, and always associating with his 60s, and some inquisitive people. And that's the qualification. If you want to work out whether somebody's, worth encouraging or giving instructions to, then, that Pariprasnena, Pranipatena, Pariprasnena, Sevaya. Submissive, inquisitive, rendering able, this is the level we ready to serve. So follow the instructions, so follow the advice. They don't follow the instructions and they don't follow the advice, so what's the point? No? I remember once when I was, the first time I flew to LA, and I was dressed in my devotional class, and I got up at one point to stretch my legs and just stand in the doorway and just relax a little bit. And but sort of came up and he started to argue with me about what was I was voting for. So he said, I said, look, give me a break. I'm not preaching to you, what do you have to preach to me? And I could tell he was partly drunk, I think, challenging. And so I said, people are challenging, sometimes they just want to argue with somebody to show their intellectual superiority, but there's another, what offense is that? What number? Offense.
Faithless.
You don't preach to the faithless. Waste of time. Right? Number nine. Isn't it? Number nine. This is what how we deal with. So, we see in Maharaj Kripa, he had this enthusiasm to follow the order of his superiors, and by the use of the intelligence that's given by Krishna ultimately, that the indulgence is an actual matter of the soul. And if we're able to fine tune that intelligence by hearing from the authorities, by the spiritual, from the spiritual master, and from the daily literature, this is how we fine tune our intelligence. So we're able to discriminate between that which is favorable for devotional service. What is it? Anukul yasya sankalpa. We take a vow to accept that which is favorable. Practical yasya varajadam. We give up those things that are not favorable. So this consciousness of accepting the order of the spiritual master and understanding the essence of the instructions. And so Maharaj Priyavrata is able to overcome what is apparently a contradiction, a dilemma, a conundrum. Lord Brahma says, you know, engage in these activities, the ruling of the affairs of the universal affairs, take that responsibility. And Narayana says, be your renunciate. And so we see in the character of Maharaj Priyavrata how he was able to take on what ostensibly or apparently appears as a material role, embracing household life, managing the universal affairs, as a kshatriya, appears to be contradictory to the order of Narayana, but actually it's not. Because when those orders or instructions, that the taking up of responsibility and pursuing those responsibilities on behalf of the devotees and on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the activity then ceases to be material, but done in the proper consciousness, right? The proper consciousness. Done on behalf, what is it? Patram pushpam palam toyam, yo me bhaktya daya chatif. But when the activities are performed in a mood of offering the results to the Lord and accepting whatever comes, this is detachment. And without attachment, there's no bondage to those activities. They're not materially entangling. This is, this is the art of work, is to perform those activities as a service or out of duty with detachment. Here, so Prabhupada says, Vishayam, material affairs should be accepted without attachment. And everything should be done for the service of the Lord. That is real intelligence. So this is the definition of intelligence. Becoming a family man or king in the material world is not harmful if one accepts everything for Krishna's service. That necessitates clear intelligence. Then he describes the Mayavadi philosophy. Brahma Satya, the man is truth. Jagan Nitya, the material creation is false. Whereas the Prabhupada says, we don't accept that, it's not our philosophy. We accept the material energy as being real. If I punch you on the nose, are you going to feel it? I wouldn't punch you on the nose, but just say, for example, I did. Are you going to feel it? Are you going to feel it? No? Not for. I remember one time there, I used to go to the farm. At least once a month we used to have meetings at the farm. There's quite a few brothers were living there at that time. We had a school there. That was an expensive exercise. Serious. If you need to repair something at the farm, say something gets broken or whatever, you can expect to be spending at least $1,000, usually $5,000. Something breaks on the tractor. Whew, expensive. I used to drive to the farm, stay overnight, usually. I remember reading a book. There was a book of poetry, children's poetry, that's all. And there was an interview. I haven't found this poem. I'd like to find it again. But the title of the poem was, "How Do You Know If You're Really Real?" It was humorous. But the conclusion of the poem was, if you want to know if you're really real, then you get a pair of bolt cutters and you chop off your little toe. And you know you're real, but it sounds a little sweet. Obviously not really ready to chop off your toe. Obviously it's humorous. So, you know, the pain that we feel is real, although it is temporary, right? The forms that we experience, they're temporary, so therefore illusory, but the materiality itself is real, and it's real, it's there. And so, you know, try walking through the wall, try it, see how you go. So, the material world is real, and there are laws of determination that you cannot break. Right? So, the bystanders accept that it's temporary and so therefore illusory, but the material energy exists, it's real. Just because it's the forms that it creates are fickle and always changing, is the nature of the material energy always. And sometimes manifest, but in the form of a material creation. And then sometimes not manifest, the breathing of Mahavishnu, Lord Vishnu, right? The material universes come out and manifest, and then in his inhaling, it all is withdrawn and not manifest, or withdrawn back into the body of Mahavishnu. Pretty amazing when you think about it. So sometimes manifest, sometimes not, but still real, still exists. And so the bystanders embrace that reality, and they take advantage of the material energy. They utilize it for making advancement in spiritual life. They don't reject it outright. And so therefore we have this verse here, Anasa Kasya Vishayam Yataham Upayam Uchitaha Nibandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vaharake Uchite. They accept the material energy and they use it in Krishna's service. And see, we know that the material energy is spiritual because it comes from Krishna. Dati Hiyesu Kunamayi Mama Maya Dharatyaya. Don't try to overcome it, but work with it. Using the material material facilities as if gifts of God. What is it? First verse of the Isha Upanishad. Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam Yakin Chavachakitam Jagat. Bunjita Kastis Madhvita Kastisitanam. What's that third one? What's the first word? Tena Chaktena Bunjita. Yeah. So, you know, the purport is accept that which is put aside as one's quota. Right? So, you know, we appreciate that everything belongs to God. But at the same time, He gives us our quota. So we accept that. You know, somebody who's very wealthy, due to the results of his karma, he's given that facility. And it need not be entangled. Of course, if one takes these things with the mood to enjoy, then it becomes entangled. But if one accepts these things, even a wealthy man, if he's given it as his allotted quota, his karma, and he accepts it and uses it for the service of Krishna, then it's not going to be entangled. No? Just like Amrish, you know, Amrish is wealthy, inherited wealth and influence and fame, famous family, the Ford family. But Amrish is a very, very dedicated servant to Prabhupada. And so Prabhupada didn't say he was going to give up your money as Maya. But he said, give it to me. Or build a temple. Prabhupada mentions that in Bhagavad Gita. In the purport of the Bhagavad Gita, you know, help build a temple, help run a temple, help to preach. So use the facilities you've got, understanding that this it's a material energy and it has faults, no doubt, but if we become attached to it. But the proper attitude is accepted on behalf of the Lord. It's, you know, we are custodians. Prabhupada gives the example, like the teller in the bank. Right? The teller in the bank doesn't think, you know, ooh, wow, I've got all this money. Let me enjoy it. What happens if the teller starts thinking, oh, you know, I'll take a bit of this home. Yeah. One of his jobs going on. So, you know, our attitude around money should be like that of a bank teller. I'm looking after this on behalf of Krishna. I'm a custodian. So that's liberating. And so that's the mood that Maharaj Priyavrata. That which is created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be false, but using it for enjoyment is. Everything is meant to be enjoyed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything should be dovetailed for his enjoyment and service. And even if the circumstances are favorable or unfavorable, one should use everything to serve the Lord. The perfect way to use one's intelligence. Okay, I think we should finish here. Any comments? Questions? No? Congratulations, Bhagavad Gita. Jai. Bhagavad Gita. Jai.